back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He deflects it by Antiniemi! And the Flyers have some magic left as they win it in overtime!
Voracek cutting on in! Voracek to the middle of the shot! He scores!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
Seymour Gagné!
That's what the people came to see!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. I apologize if there was a long pause. I'll add that out when I upload the podcast, but Skype took a second when I hit the start recording button.
Just keep the suspense in there. It's all right.
Long pause. After
Yeah.
But we are back here this week at 5-Minute Major Radio, and it's been an event-filled past 2 weeks since our last podcast. And tonight, not only are Master and I together for another podcast, we are joined by our brothers from Pod Street Bullies, Derek, Bob, and our other listeners, probably have heard of this guy, recurring guest, also member of the Pod Street Bullies, Matt Hoogie Hoagland. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for having the two most beautiful of the Pod Street Bullies on. You definitely don't want to see John on here.
When John listens, I'm sure he'll have thoughts on that statement. He'll probably tell you to suck it.
Oh, he always does.
We'll get one in the group message. Like, are you effing kidding me, Hoagie?
We are missing Casey, though.
Yeah, we are missing Matt, Casey, and John. But we'll get the whole game together at some point, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot going on. Of course, tomorrow is the start of official NHL free agent. It's free agent frenzy tomorrow. But before we kind of get into that with around the league later, there's been a lot of Flyers news, which we've kind of grown used to that not being the case around this time of year. A lot has happened. If you're a Flyers fan, if you don't know about these deals, you've been living under a rock. But I think to say the majority of the collective fan base, I would say, is generally happy and excited for this season to start now after what has corresponded since 2 weeks ago now, almost a week and a half ago at this point, last weekend. So we'll get right into it. Breaking last, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, I was actually on the toilet when I found this out, thanks to a text from Hoagie. The Flyers traded Phil Myers and Nolan Patrick to Nashville for defenseman Ryan Ellis. Patrick was then flipped to Vegas for one of Vegas's other prospects. I'm blanking on his name right now, so gents, if you want to throw it in
Cody
real quick.
Glass.
Cody Glass. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate that save there. But overall, my thoughts real quick on this trade, boys. This is huge. He was a defenseman we all even talked about in our own private chats throughout last year, saying if the Flyers could find a way to land Ryan Ellis, it's a legitimate top pairing right shot defenseman that you can pair with Ivan Provorov, and you have your first pairing set for years. Over the moon about it. You got rid of kind of Phil Myers, who had kind of become an unknown. At one point, you thought he could have been a top four defenseman. Then last year, he was a borderline NHL defenseman last season, so you kind of didn't know what was going to happen with him. And you gave up a draft bust to Nolan Patrick. I was a Nolan Patrick defender till the very end, but kind of this last year sealed the deal with me in regards to that fate, where I was like, you know what, this dude might just not have it, and it sucks. But, you know, we turned a draft bust and an unknown NHL defenseman into a legitimate number one right shot D. So I'm ecstatic for it. It's a great deal. He signed for it $6.25 million for the next 6 years, so a manageable contract. All in all, an A-plus move by Chuck Fletcher in my books. Boys, whoever wants to go first on your thoughts on the deal, take the wheel.
No, Dave, you're supposed to throw it over to someone here.
Well, I'll throw it over to Derek.
You're the
bus driver.
Yeah,
I was going to free and free
side. You're the stage director. You've got to tell us what to do.
I mean, I'm very excited about this deal. You look at what the Flyers originally gave up with, Phil Myers. We'll start with him. Right-handed shot, tall guy, young guy, showed an immense amount of promise. But you really saw him regress in the bubble. And, you know, coming into the season this past year, you wanted him to be that top pairing guy with Provorov. You wanted to match the left shot with the right shot. It didn't work out. And then you force a guy like Justin Braun into the top pairing minutes where he just, you know, as well as he played, it's that's not his role on this team anymore. So you turn a guy like Phil Myers into a guy like Ryan Ellis, who is absolutely a step above him, if not more. You know, we'll miss him, sure, but at the same rate, we're getting more of a proven commodity. What really needs said about Nolan Patrick? I mean, I feel like we've beaten it to death and then brought it back to life, beaten it to death again, and then the same thing about seven more times. You know, good riddance. The guy just showed that he didn't want to be in Philadelphia, and Chuck Fletcher, in return, showed him the door. So then he went to Nashville, and then he got his nice, cute little thank you tweet from Nashville, and then got shipped to Vegas, which was fantastic. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but, like, do we see the conference where he talked about the concussion?
I was just about to mention that.
Yeah, Mastro, talk about it, man.
Yeah, interesting, huh? He just seemed so, like, apathetic, and, like, he just like, it just, I don't know, he seems like he doesn't even want to play hockey, where it's like he's getting a fresh start. Obviously, things didn't work out with the Flyers. He's getting a fresh start in Vegas, which has, like, become an unreal hockey city in just a handful of seasons. And he's sitting there on the Zoom meeting, like, almost, like, monotone, just kind of, like, slouched over, like, yeah, you know, I'm excited to be here, like, we're ready for a friend. I'm like, damn, like, if I'm a Vegas fan, I'm like, does this kid even want to be here? Like, I mean, it's just, it doesn't help him as a person, as a player, where it's like, you're getting this good, this great opportunity to start anew after your first stage of your career failed, and you don't even, like, you're not even showing any sort of excitement, like, thankfulness, anything like that. So it's like, show some damn emotion. It's like, I hate to bring this guy up, but it's like that Hackstall syndrome, where it's like, you see no emotion from this kid, and you see nothing on the ice, you see nothing off the ice, and it's like, dude, like, do you even want to be here, or do you just want to collect a paycheck, be around the guys, and then go home?
Right.
Yeah, and it's something that we even touched on our podcast with Jim Jackson, Mastro. We just learned, and I think it's no secret to everyone who watched press conferences with Nolan Patrick, he did not like the media. He does not like talking to the media.
Yeah.
And you're hoping, before we throw it to Hoagie real quick, you're hoping, you know, Vegas is hoping that the fact that Brad McCrimmon is now their GM. Brad McCrimmon was his GM and coach in junior with the Brandon Wheat Kings back when Nolan Patrick was, like, talked about in the ilks of Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. Like, he was thought to be once the next coming in hockey. He just wasn't that. So, Master, do you have any more thoughts to add on about the overall deal?
I'll let Hoagie go, and then I'll back clean up here in our round table.
Words. Yeah, Hoagie, floor is yours, brother.
Thanks, guys. I was pumped for this trade when it broke. I was super excited. Didn't know what to do with myself. It was just not expected at that time of day for Flyers Twitter at that point. So it addressed a need that we all sought out for this offseason in acquiring a right-handed top defenseman, a veteran defenseman, and it's huge. Ellis is another leader in this locker room. I'm looking forward to watching him put on that orange and black sweater this fall. And, you know, Phil Myers, I like the kid, but, you know, he backtracked, and it wasn't good for us. We can't keep playing with these unknowns going into every season. So, you know what, Nolan Patrick, I'm tired of talking about him. Good riddance. See you later. Have fun in Vegas, kid.
Mastro, time to back clean up, my guy.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, since you mentioned you were on the toilet when this broke, which is a little TMI there. I was in a more PG setting, maybe PG-13. I was drinking on the beach in Ocean City.
I was in Outer Banks drinking on the beach.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was already having a great day, and then it got even better when someone in our circle of beach chairs was like, the Flyers just got Ryan Ellis. And I'm like, are you joking? And they're like, no, like, it's all over Twitter. And I'm like, I literally whipped out my phone. I'm like, literally, like, I have to, like, hold it away from the sun. Like, you have to have it on the perfect angle because you can actually see your screen. And you're just like, I'm like rapidly scrolling through Twitter, and I'm like, holy shit, they got Ryan Ellis. Like, and like, it was like a great trade. Like, this was an A+ trade, in my opinion, because like all you guys said, we got rid of Patrick, who didn't even want to be here, who made it known that he didn't want to be here. who was just brutal on the ice, and Phil Myers, who, thank you for your service, but you're going to be somewhere else now. Obviously, Nashville is a great place. But I mean, hell, that was just awesome to see. And Ellis, I mean, to put it in short here, he does fill that Matt Niskanen void after the Flyers got caught with their pants down last season when Niskanen decided to retire. So, I mean, that was literally like the, dare I say, the perfect start to the offseason. But as we will move forward here, things got a little rocky in the next few days. But Dave, as we discussed before we started recording, we're kind of keep things kind of in timeline order here. Yes. So I think we move from the Ellis trade to the anticlimactic expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken and who they took from the Flyers. So Dave, I'll throw it back to you for the next topic here.
Yeah. So the Seattle Kraken had their list of players to pick from the Philadelphia Flyers, and they did with every other team except for Vegas, because I guess Vegas is special. You know, the Flyers had, you know, Shane Gostisbehere, Jake Voracek, and Jason Riemsdyk all listed as available. And the fan base was drooling over the thought of Seattle taking any one of those three. And what does Seattle do? They do the exact opposite of what everyone thought, and they pick Carson Twierenski. Good old third liner AHLer, fourth liner NHLer, you know, grinder forward. And you're like, what in the hell are you doing? And I just feel like with this pick, you know, it was rumored that Ron Francis and the Kraken were looking for a first round and a third round draft pick to pick the player that you wanted them to take. And I think a lot of GMs learned from their mistake with Vegas and said, that's too much to pay. Sorry, not sorry. Here's our list. Take whatever player you want to take from it. Frank Saravalli decided to choose violence that morning and leak the whole list of picks 8 hours before the NHL's, you know, re-debut on ESPN aired. Besides that kind of, you know, taking all the wind out of everyone's sails, the program itself was not good.
Yeah.
Can
I interject here for a second?
You may interject.
I have a reason why both the expansion draft and the actual draft seemed subpar as broadcasts. So I was seeing on Twitter from some hockey personalities and some ESPN people that both the expansion draft and the entry draft were supposed to be originally aired on NBC Sports prior to the NHL making their deal with ESPN. So I guess they kind of got caught again with their pants down. And
off guard.
Both of those were technically league productions, but the entry draft was being broadcast by ESPN at the NHL Network studios in New Jersey. So, I mean, I like the panel for the draft with, like, Bucci, Kevin Weeks, Emily Kaplan, Sam Cosentino, guy with the unreal mustache, and then I'm forgetting the former Sabres GM's name.
Kevin Adams. That's a great GM.
Yeah, Gordon. But like they were good. Like, it was good to listen to them. I mean,
it was the Rangers GM.
Rangers GM. Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon, the guy who just got fired.
I only remember him because he's got the same name as a NASCAR driver.
They were a good panel like that. I think the expansion draft, and I guess we're kind of getting off track here, but just to quick say my two cents, the expansion draft broadcast and just that whole situation was just like a straight up tough look for the beginning of hockey on ESPN, where it was like, but again, it's also like, and I'm sure we're all going to say this argument, it's almost the league's fault for having the Kraken submit their picks. What is it, 10 hours before the event? And like you said, Dave, Frank Saravalli chose violence because he's not with TSN anymore or like SportsCenter or ESPN. Like, he's with Daily Faceoff now, which I don't think is as big as either one of those. But like, Frank Saravalli is obviously an elite tier hockey insider. So he got that information and he did his job where he was just like, listen, this is the information I have and I'm dispersing it to the people. And hockey Twitter was ablaze. And it was like, I was kind of like bummed out because it took all the suspense out of like, who are they going to pick? And then like, I got texts from my other friends and they're like, they're taking Twerwinski from the Flyers. And I'm like, is this a joke? So, but I guess I went first this time, so I'll throw it over to Hoagie or Derek now.
I do have a quick thought before we get back to Derek and Hoagie, but in a way, it was kind of nice of Frank to do that, because if we had waited all day and the suspense had built up and they announce live for everyone in Philadelphia Flyers fandom to hear that the pick is Carson Twerwinski, I think several TVs might have been broken live if everyone had found out. So in a way, Frank did us all a service. But Hoags, what you go here? What are your thoughts on the expansion draft and the Twerwinski pick to Seattle?
I mean, the expansion draft, the broadcast put me to sleep towards the end of it because it was just bland. But regardless, who cares anymore? Carson Twerwinski, what a freaking low ball pick for the Kraken. I don't think any of us were expecting that name to be taken.
I think you could say that about the majority of the NHL.
Yeah, and I kind of did want to say that. Like, every pick for this Kraken roster was just like, who the hell is this guy? Like, there were so many big names out there that they could have grabbed, and they decided not to. It's just like, what is going on with this Kraken team and Ron Francis? I think it's just, you know, the Dave Haxtell Kool-Aid.
I have a thought about that once you give the rest of your 2 cents and once we let Derek go here, Hoagie. So I'm going to circle back to that.
But, yeah, I think it's the Dave Haxtell Kool-Aid of, you know, let's put a subpar team on the ice and see what they can do. So, yeah, that's all I got. Good luck, Carson Twerwinski. You didn't really do much with us, but have fun.
You won't do much with Seattle either. Derek?
I mean, this was, you know, everybody got excited for it because they were going to take somebody from the Flyers. They took Carson Twerwinski, and it was a giant letdown. Like, there's no two ways about it. This was the Flyers' chance to shed a big portion of their cap through Jake Voracek, James Van Riemsdyk, to a somewhat lesser extent, Gostisbehere. But, like, looking forward for this, and I know there won't be another expansion draft. There's 32 teams. They'd be stupid to bring another one in. If they were to redo this, I guess is a better way to say this, there's two things I want out of this. And one is, like you guys mentioned before, they need to submit their picks much closer to when they actually make them because someone is going to leak them. Like, it's just going to happen, whether it's an agent is going to leak them to the media or a team or somebody affiliated with the team.
Family member.
Yeah, family member even. Exactly. Prime example. It's going to happen. Like, it happens in every sport. The second thing, July 21st needs to hereby be known as Frank Saravalli Day. Like, that man did a fantastic job. And I absolutely love it because now it's just like a slap in the face to the NHL. It's like, way to go, dipshits. Like, I apologize for cursing, but like, way to go. This is your first chance on your new network that's paying you millions and millions of dollars. And I'm the guy that just blew it all up. And look how easy that was.
And he also had the audacity to tweet afterwards. After he tweeted the entire roster, he had the audacity to say, "Can't wait to witness the birth of the Kraken tonight at the expansion draft."
And it's funny. Really,
I audibly went, this guy is a menace to society. And I was like, dude, this guy literally just ruined, like Derek just said, he just ruined the intro, like the return of hockey to ESPN, and just acted and just said, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens tonight. Like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, that is literally just the coldest move I've ever seen. Like, he basically just went, he just came from the rafters, like from outer space, and just absolutely bodied NHL and ESPN. Like, it's wild.
You wonder if Frank Saravalli was a disgruntled former employee, because before this, he worked for TSN, which is Canada's ESPN. It's owned by Disney, so it's this literally the same thing, just in a different country. And you're wondering, like, who at TSN pissed him off this much?
It's almost like what they do for movies. Like, there's a press embargo. Like, Like, to a certain date, there's a press embargo where it's like you can have reviews come out, but you can't like this, like you can't disclose any plot points, any spoilers like that. So it's
you can't
like,
pull LaShawn McCoy with Avengers Endgame is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like they should do something like that where it's like have some sort of embargo where it's like if you leak anything, then you get like the book thrown at you, like something like that.
That's still like information, though. I feel like it'd be different if it were like a movie, like you were saying. With information like that, though, that stuff leaks out all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's ways to do that where it's like behind, you know, closed doors where it's like, hey, Frank, guess what, buddy? We're going to take you out back and beat the piss out of you because you leaked all the information. And then you just walk out of here and say nothing happened, you know?
Yep.
But I don't know actually how the NHL operates.
Yeah. I mean, it was just fun. It was fun to see like just everything. Like I said, it was just like chaos on hockey Twitter. But Hoagie, going back to your thought about Hextall and Francis and all these picks that he took. So again, I was talking with a couple of my other friends and we were thinking about there has to be, and I know we have thoughts about this topic when we go into the Ristolainen news, but there has to be some sort of analytical drive behind them taking all these guys where like there's some sort of like algorithm or like graph or whatever that puts all these guys together well on paper, but who the hell knows how they're going to blend on the ice. Like, I mean, these guys could absolutely suck as a team. Like, arguably their best player is Jordan Eberle. Like, and Chris Driedger, I mean, he's a good goalie. He proved that he could, like, hang with the big boys with the Panthers. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're
before that, he was an East Coast Hockey League goalie. Like, I don't even know if he's actually good. We're going to find out now if he's actually
young.
Good or not.
And, I mean, like, Mark Giordano is comparable to, like, almost like the Derek Englund of the Kraken, where he's, like, he's a veteran defenseman on the back nine of his career. He's probably going to be named their first captain, if they even name a captain.
Traded.
Yeah.
If he's not traded, yeah.
And it's like, but again, I think it's a mixture of the fact that, like, Seattle, like, Ron Francis didn't take the bait from any teams that had these guys who had these big cap hits. So he's like, screw it. I'm going to take all of your, like, essentially the majority of the Kraken is a bottom six forward on any other team in the NHL, with the exception of a handful of players. But, I mean, also, we can talk about the fact that with free agency starting tomorrow, and as I mentioned before we started recording, Seattle has $31.5 million left in cap space to spend on free agents and other players' transactions and all that jazz. So, I mean, they're definitely not done because they need to at least meet the cap floor, and they're not even at that. So I think tomorrow is where things are going to really ramp up, where we're going to see Seattle try and entice some free agents to come there. And also we'll probably see some deals to bring some, well, I mean, hell, if they don't do well, that's not my problem, because like I was thinking going into this with the players they had available, they were going to smoke the Flyers like every time they played them. But now I'm just like, dude, the Flyers are going to run train on this team. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll definitely see what happens.
We have them early in the season too. So
yeah, I think it's our second or third home game.
Yeah, it's our second or third home game, so I'm excited for
Vancouver's home opener, and then we've got Seattle like a day or two later.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vancouver home opener is on a Friday night, so.
Oh, baby.
Oh, boy.
Oh, baby. But, yeah, we can move on from the expansion draft, and this is kind of when Chuck really then went to work. And the first of three trades that he made pretty much from – you know, last, what was this, July 22nd? So that was what, last, check the calendar here, it's bad radio, but last
Thursday.
Pretty much Thursday through Saturday, the course of three trades in 3 days in a row. This was a trade at the time I was a little upset about, but now what has transpired since then, it doesn't bother me anymore. and I'm sure we'll get into it. But the Flyers did trade Shane Gostisbehere, a second round pick in 2022 and a seventh round pick in 2022 to the Arizona Coyotes for future considerations, aka cap space. It had been clear that the Flyers have been trying to move on for Ghost for the past 2 years. While I was a defender of all things Gostisbehere until the very bitter end, you could tell it was kind of time to move on. And you know, the Flyers had tried waving Ghost multiple times. No one picked him up. Arizona is very clearly going through a rebuild. They said, hey, you know what? Send us some draft picks. We'll take his contract. So you get some immediate salary cap relief. And you got a guy who was, you know, Chuck Fletcher is, and this goes along with a couple of the other trades he's made this in these past couple of days. He's very pro his coaching staff and pro his guys. And Shane Gostisbehere was one of the players that was very anti-vocal, this coaching staff, and did not get along with him, and he shipped them out. So Ghost is now a Yote, and the Flyers, you know, cleared about $4.5 million off their books. So, you know, Mastro, we'll start with you here. What are your thoughts on this deal?
So I think it was Elliot Friedman who confused me on Twitter, because I originally saw the tweet that we were receiving draft picks for Ghost. And then he backpedaled and was like, wait, just kidding. We're giving up draft picks and Ghost. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't seem right. So I was initially a little soured by the trade. But and the whole like phrase future considerations is complete BS, because it's basically like you traded this guy for nothing. And like it just makes like the GM connection better between the two teams, I guess. I don't know. But I think it was good because, like you said, Dave, Ghost had kind of fallen out of favor with the coaching staff. He was in and out of the roster with injuries and just the way he played, turning the puck over a lot, just not making good decisions offensively, defensively, most of all. I mean, you could say that for the entire team last season, but Ghost especially just – in recent years just again fell off. So I think it was definitely time for him to go. And it's just one of those things where it's like, it comes down to players can thrive if they have a change of scenery. And I mean, Ghost was, he was good. Like his first couple of years here, he was arguably like a Norris candidate, especially coming out of college off the Frozen Four championship with Union. Yeah, it was Union.
Union.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was like, I don't know. I mean, he was a good player, but again, he just fell off skill wise. He fell out of favor with the team, and it was just time to move on, I think.
Yeah, Hoagie, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, just like Matt, where you know it was tweeted out, we're getting rid of Ghost, and originally it was two draft picks. I was like, holy crap, what a fleece! Chuck Fletcher is going insane right now. And then it was a whole backpedal where like, oh, never mind. It's two draft picks and Ghost going to the Coyotes. And it was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then we got the thing where, you know, future considerations. I was like, dang, what the heck is this? But, I mean, in the long run, it makes sense. We needed to clear the cap space. And if that's how you had to do it, just go and do it. Whatever needed to happen, just do it. So I like Ghost. I was there for his first NHL goal all by myself because all my buddies were late to the game. I was pumped by myself. and you know what? He served a purpose for so long as a power play specialist, and he fell down the lineup. We got better on the defense now, and you could see that happening throughout this offseason where we were adding players, and he was not going to be in that picture anymore. So I wish luck to him with the Coyotes, and yeah, that's all I got to say about Ghost. Good luck, kid.
Yeah, Derek?
I got caught up in the draft pick thing because I saw the Friedman tweet saying we're going to get a second and a seventh, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, way to go, Chuck. And then I interpreted it as it was going to be a swap. So it's Ghost a second and a seventh for a second and a seventh, and I'm like, okay, I can still live with it. Then it's like, no, it's Ghost a second and a seventh for future considerations. And I'm like, oh, well damn.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the flat cap era, you know, that's the price you pay to shed $4.5 million. Mm-hmm. And as we're going to talk about here shortly, that cap room meant a lot and we needed that. And I'm glad we had it because, you know, Ghost was on his way out. Matt Casey mentioned it on our show a couple of nights ago where it's like, he's been on the block continuously for what, 2 years now? The rumors about Montreal being on waivers, clearing waivers, nobody wanted him. And then it's like, what's his real value? Like, that's his real value now. It was the cap space, and we needed to give up two draft picks to get that cap space. Total side note, Arizona's become Philadelphia's cap dumpster at this point.
Yep.
It's like Grossman, cap dumpster. His contract.
Yeah,
Datsyuk, you know, and then Pronger Hossa. As well. Like,
yep.
Hossa, exactly. Like, it's crazy. And I'm like, now you look at them shipping out Ekman-Larsson with Connor Garland to Vancouver, you know, so Ghost will get some time with in their top six. So
unless they move
good
him.
For him. Unless they move him, exactly, which could happen. But, you know, I like Ghost. I'm happy that he's going to get another opportunity, hopefully. It's just a shame that it didn't work out in Philly. You know, the power play was great with him, but it's we're turning over a new leaf, and this was absolutely necessary for that leaf we're turning over. So, hey, if it's a casualty, so be it. But, you know, best of luck to him, and we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, definitely. It's all well summarized up there, boys. So now we're moving on to Friday. This trade breaks right as I'm getting ready to leave to head up to the mountains for our good old buddy Ben's bachelor party this weekend. So literally I'm like in my car trying to drive. I'm texting Mastro. I'm like texting Mastro about it, like doing the speak to text on my Apple Watch while I'm like steering my car in the Northeast Ascension. But a huge deal that has the hockey nerds still angry and the hockey eye testers extremely happy. I like to consider myself a mix of the two, and I am very excited about this deal. This is yet again another player that was much talked about, maybe potentially coming to Philadelphia during the season when we were saying, well, how do we fix this defense? The Philadelphia Flyers acquired defenseman Rasmus Ristolainen from the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for the 13th overall pick in Friday night's NHL entry draft and Patrick Boyle's beloved Robert Hägg. I know you guys poured one out and had a moment of silence for him on your pod.
There's never a moment of silence on our podcast, let's be honest.
That's a very
John, that's for sure.
No.
Exactly. No. But overall, this is yet again another upgrade on this defense. You're getting Ristolainen, who you're thinking he's been misused his entire career by Buffalo. They've had him, you know, play top deep pairing minutes on a shitty team for years. You now got him in the guy where every time the Flyers played Buffalo, I liked what I saw in Ristolainen. I said, this guy is a pain in the ass to play against. He's good offensively. He makes big hits. And he's decent in his defensive zone. He does have some odd lapses, but you know, no player is perfect. Not everyone's going to be Bobby Orr or Nick Lidstrom out there. But also, he didn't really have much.
Say Bobby Hägg. Jeez, oh my god.
I would never do that. But he didn't have Ristolainen. Didn't have much help really at all in Buffalo, and they're kind of doing the same thing now with their other pick. The other Rasmus.
Dahlin.
And he's going through the same thing. I mean, Buffalo is just a shitty place to play. But now you're picking up Rasmus Ristolainen, who you're ideally putting on your second D pairing with Travis Sanheim. He's going to get power play time. And you're thinking, how does this not improve the team? It makes the Flyers better in every advanced metric. He's got 1 year left in his current deal where he's making about $5 million. So he's going to be playing for a new deal and a new home. I'm really looking forward to see what we can get from Ristolainen. It was a bit, if you ask me, and this is talked about a lot between myself and Hoagie and the dudes up at the weekend, of course, between me and Mastro as well via text, a little bit of an overpayment. I feel like 13th overall was a little steep, but apparently there were other NHL teams offering more for Ristolainen. So you know what? The fact that the Flyers were able to get him at that price point, you make it work. And I was adamant in our pre-draft show that we had with Mastro, that I was saying the 13th overall pick trade it. This draft year is kind of wonky due to COVID and scouting. You know, guys drafted in the first round could end up being busts, and there could be some guy taken in the seventh that turns out to be a franchise level player. You just don't know because you know one could scout the way they normally scouted. So they moved the pick like they wanted them to do, and they improved the defense. Derek, we'll start with you here first.
There's so much to this to unpack because it's like there's people upset and then you've got the situation where Ristolainen is going to take on a lesser role in the contract year. And it's like, you know, we start with the general reaction. Everybody's like huge overpayment, crazy like that, you know, but Dave, you alluded to it. You had to give that up. you know, other teams were offering their first round pick, so you had to match that and one up them. So that's where the other pick came in into play, you know, adding Robert Haig as well. What adding Robert Haig does, honestly, is just kind of show a better plan of where Chuck Fletcher's going with this blue line. Adding Ristolainen and keeping Haig, it's like, what are you going to have, 8 defensemen that can play in the NHL? You know, as much as we joke and we love Robert Haig, you know, those deals happen. Robert Haig is another defenseman. He's I like him, but this isn't going to break my heart. The whole argument with these advanced analytics with him, like, just kills me. I'm not a giant analytics guy. Like, I'm sure there's a place for it in the game and I appreciate them, but like, I think Ilya Bryzgalov said it best, like, why you have to be mad, you know? Like, you're trading the guy that
it's only game.
It's only game, you know. Haig was the scapegoat, and now you're getting Ristolainen, and it's like, we just got rid of our scapegoat. Like, the guy that you all hated is out the door, and we bring in this guy. It's like, you're gonna find a way to bitch about it. Like, there's no winning here. Like, there's no pleasing. Like, what is it, Austin Powers? Like, there's no pleasing you. You know, I'm sorry with the references here, but like, it's frustrating because I love Ristolainen. I love the pickup. I love just the overall direction with this, because now you have a guy that's going to drop the gloves, that's going to make sure that Oscar Lindblom doesn't need to drop the gloves during a game, and no one's going to mess with people on the ice when he's on the ice. So it's encouraging, and that's the sandpaper, and that's the grit that we needed, honestly. You know, say what you will about it. Is it going to be interesting to see how it pans out? Absolutely, because you had a top pairing defenseman in Buffalo on a shit team, and now you're going to put him in a lesser role. Like, yes, I'm sure those numbers aren't going to be like fantastic, but I'll put it out there, I guarantee that they're going to be better. So I'm encouraged by it. I like it. I think him and Sanheim could be a really good partner, a really good pairing. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Let's just, you know, wait to see how it plays out before you start to, you know, try to nail the guy to the cross.
Exactly. And yet again, another big key with this Flyers defense now, Ristolainen, right-handed defenseman. So, Mastro, throw over to you here. What are your thoughts on the deal for bringing good old Rasmus to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you guys have both said so far, just let the guy play. We've seen where like everyone was just so quick to jump to like, oh, like, well, this analytics says this about him and this says that, and all them, like, they're all negatives, they're all bad. It's like, dude, this guy is playing, has been playing for his whole career on a team with the longest playoff drought in the league at, I think, 10 seasons now since Buffalo's made the postseason. Their entire, like, their organization, front office was 8
head coaches.
Yeah, like, oh, I mean,
crazy like
we've
that.
Seen, like, the worst out of this organization over the past few years. And even, I'm pretty sure, like, Ristolainen got COVID last year, too. So it's like,
yeah,
like, a professional athlete getting an illness like that, like, obviously can have long-term effects. And coming back from that in such a sprint of a season that last season was with the 56 games, I mean, that's got to count for something, where he's not going to come back perfect. So I think the cards are stacked against him here, and you can speculate about this guy's plus minus, about all this, like, everything that until the cows come home. But it's like I said, you just got to let the guy step on the ice. And like Derek said, one of the things that the Flyers have been lacking ever since Simmons left is toughness and
that gumption.
Testicular fortitude.
We saw them get absolutely trounced by the Rangers in a matter of a week, twice in the matter of like a week or so. And
thanks for bringing that back
it
up.
Was, oh yeah, I know. But it's like, they literally just, like, they just took it. Like, they didn't, there was no, like, no one got pissed off. No one, like, took any, like, I mean, I'm not going to encourage cheap shots, but it's like, no one would give, like, any Rangers players, like, a shot in the back or something like that.
No one,
or, like,
stood up, chop. You know?
Like, yeah, no one stood up for each other. And, like, again, Dave, we beat this dead horse all last season, too, where it was like, you kept hearing about, oh, we're such a close-knit group, blah, 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 like, locker room, stuff like that. And it's like, dude, if you're a close-knit group, why is Scott Laughton getting suplexed at center ice by Curtis Lazar, and you're acting like nothing happened? Like, how the hell is that close-knit group?
Like, the Canadian suplex.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, again, Dave, you said this too. Every time the Flyers played the Sabres last year, Ristolainen was a pain in our ass, where you saw him literally panhandling our players along the boards. I mean, he's not a playmaker because he's such a big guy, but it's like he's almost like a nuclear deterrent now, where, like Derek said, he's going to be a guy where if you fuck with someone, excuse my language, but if you mess with someone on the ice with the Flyers, you're going to hear about it from Ristolainen. Or hopefully now that they have this guy where, like, players will be more inclined to stand up for each other because they know that they have this more. I mean, you got Lawton, you got Obey Kubel, who's a little bit of a wild thing out there. I was going to say Raffle, but he's not here anymore. But it's like, I mean, Ristolainen should encourage these guys to take more risks, whether it's physically or getting a puck in deep or just doing whatever, where it's like he can literally be the backbone of this team and to bring back that much needed toughness that the Flyers do need, where if you're winning a game, you have that toughness to shut the opponent down, where you have that killer instinct to just shut down a game, shut down a team and win a game. Or if you're losing a game, you let teams know that you're pissed off. Like, you don't just be like, oh, we lost 9-0. Like, it's all good. Like, we're just going to go home and lose 9-0 again in the next 5 days. Like, so, again, let the guy play. And I'm also going to say this, too, because I've been thinking a lot about these trades, too, where it's like, I guess, again, Dave, like, when Jim Jackson was on here with us, Flyers Twitter is not the entire Flyers fan base.
Yep.
But I think a lot of Flyers Twitter is imploding on their own arguments, where they want change with this team and they want better players, they want different players, and it's like these different players are literally coming to Philadelphia, and then they're like, no, we don't want those players, or we didn't want that one.
Hold on a second.
Bottom line is that you can't expect different results with the same people, and you may not I don't like the price that we paid for Ristolainen. I don't like that we got rid of Ghost and draft picks for literally, I mean, cap space is obviously a huge asset in the flat cap era that we're in right now, but it's like the team is actively making a difference right now. Like,
yes.
How can you be mad at them trying to make a difference? Like, again, you can speculate about analytics, stats, past stats, projections, all that stuff until the end of time. Just let the team skate and let this team play. And you're gonna have training camps gonna be here before we know it in September. We're gonna have a few preseason games, and then next thing you know, we're gonna be in a full regular season for the first time in what, 3 years? And I mean, again, the bottom line, you can't expect different results with the same players. And that's my rant for now, and then we can move on.
Yeah, before we get to Hoagie, you know, Matt, you touched on there, you know, for as much of the fan base that is vocally against Ristolainen, I would say there's, if not an equal, there's a greater portion that is excited to have this type of player in orange and black. And also, for those who didn't hear his quotes about COVID, he was quoted saying that he was afraid to go to sleep because he didn't know if he was going to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's like, fantastic holy point. Shit. And you have to think that's going to affect it. And he came back and he played it. He played hockey at the highest level after having that bout of a serious, you know, round with COVID-19. So that's no joke. But yeah, Hoax, what are your thoughts on the trade?
I'm excited. Like we've all said, it was a steep price to pay. But like we've all seen over the past however many days, 4 or 5 days, all my days are blending in together over from this past weekend. Other teams are in on them, and they're willing to pay more. So if you got to get rid of that first round pick, get rid of it. I said that morning, we're not going to draft number 13 overall. I said it, and I held by it. And literally on my drive down to the Poconos, one of my coworkers goes, "You son of a bitch, you were right." I was like, "I know I was right. We didn't need it. We needed to use it to get better, and we got better with Ristolainen. He brings that grit. He brings that backbone that we desperately needed on this team." I was just thinking while all you guys were going on your bits, I think, you know, during training camp or practices, they should bring back the guillotine. I think AV should line everybody up along the boards and just have everybody fly through and just get hammered by every single guy on the team and have just wrist align as the last guy and just make sure he gives it to everybody.
Oh, just I don't know
to
about
say,
that.
Hey, I know. I think he has to be the one that says, this is what we're doing now. We're going to get physical, and this is how you make hits. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited for it. I heard part of his interview on SiriusXM this afternoon. I called it a little late. He's excited to come to Philadelphia. He is ecstatic to play kind of more of like a lesser role and kind of develop his game even more. So I'm excited that he's excited, because we touched on this on our podcast with the Pot Street Boys. Why don't players want to come to Philly anymore? And for Ristolainen to say, I'm excited to come to Philly, it kind of negates that argument of players don't want to come. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, and that narrative, Hoagie, leads into our next couple of trades and signing that we're about to get into here. Of course, a deal that happened on Saturday whilst Hoagie and I were a few beers deep at the good old Barley Creek Brewing Company in Long Pond, Pennsylvania. We're just sitting there. I think we were playing shuffleboard, or we were over by the cornhole, indoor cornhole.
We were playing shuffleboard, and I broke it.
And Hoagie looks up, and he's like, we just got Cam Atkinson from Columbus. And I'm like, for who? Jake Voracek. And we both go, and? And then we find out that the and is nothing.
Yeah.
It's just straight up Cam Atkinson for Jake Voracek. And it's been probably one of the most psyched moments I've ever felt about being a fan in the past couple of years. I am over the moon about this deal. While Jake Voracek was one of my past current favorite Flyers, own his sweater. His time here in Philadelphia, much like Ghost, had come to an end. He needed to move on. The fan base was sick of him. I don't think there was very, very many Voracek defenders left. I think everyone was tired of watching him go into the offensive zone and then pass the puck as soon as he entered the zone. But you're getting a guy, Cam Atkinson, who is a shoot first, ask questions later player. A type of, he's not to the level of, you know, Vlad Tarasenko that we've all been wondering, can the Flyers smoke it on this offseason? But, you know, he did just score 41 goals 2 years ago and 35 a couple years before that. And overall in his career, he has more goals than assists. And, you know, he is a top six winger who might be the best penalty killing forward that this team has had since Mike Richards. You know, he can play, he fills in so many holes on this team. And he's got, while he's small, he's a lot like TK, where he has that bit of a bite to his game, and he is going to stand up. And he, you know, instantly, I feel, was beloved by this fan base, because he comes on TV for his interview in a gritty T-shirt that is his wife's. And he's best friends with Scott Hartnell. In his one NHL Network interview, he was wearing a Hartnell Down T-shirt. He played college hockey with Kevin Hayes, so Hayes is ecstatic to have him on the team. This is a player that fills a lot of holes that were needed, and I think you found your top line right winger to play with Couturier and whoever plays on that left wing, whether it's Farabee or Voracek. And this is an excellent, excellent player.
Not Voracek.
Claude Giroux or Joel Farabee.
He ain't on the team anymore.
Voracek is now going back to Columbus, where he started his career. So he's a player who fills a lot of holes, instantly makes his team better, and I am just very excited. You know, he's in the fourth year of a 7-year contract, I believe, so he's got some time left on his deal here. But overall, he's just a really, really good, tenacious player that I think is going to really thrive in Philadelphia. So with that, who wants to I'll take a volunteer. Hoags, we'll go to Hoags first this time.
So, Dave, I'm kind of surprised you didn't say this, but the biggest part about this trade was the no salary cap retention for Voracek.
Yes.
Because as we were talking that morning before the trade even hit, I looked at you and said, teams want the Flyers to retain at least $2.5 million. And I said, I'll take it. I don't want it, but I'll take it. And the fact that it was a straight-up player-for-player, one-for-one, no salary cap retention was huge for the Philadelphia Flyers. Because Atkinson comes in a little bit lower, a little bit cheaper of a deal. And he's that guy that we've been missing for so long, that shoot-first mentality that we've been asking Voracek to do, which was stupid because we knew he wouldn't do it. He's going to hit the blue line and try to cross ice pass across the blue line. And I was tired of it for years. I've been probably one of the biggest haters on Voracek for years now. And I'm glad he's gone. I think he'll flourish in Columbus, hopefully, if he doesn't block everybody on Twitter. So, but it's huge. I'm so excited for Cam Atkinson. I'm excited to have another like penalty kill specialist because I love penalty kill and I want the Flyers to get back to, you know, being really good on the penalty kill and shutting teams down and scoring shorthanded goals. I can't remember the last time we've had a shorthanded goal in a Flyers sweater.
It's been at least two seasons because we did not have one at all last year.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a while.
The penalty before kill was pause, just atrocious.
I think it was, yeah, before the pause when we were on that winning streak, I think Hayes had a couple down that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been our best PK guy.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm excited. That's all I got to say about that.
Mastro, what are your thoughts on Cam Atkinson being in the orange and black?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare sighting these days to have a hockey trade where it's a classic hockey trade where it's just one for one, where there's no like draft picks or salary retention or anything like that, where it's just like, hey, we'll give you this guy for this guy. And you'll be like, all right, or, sold.
Or future considerations.
Yeah. Or it's like, hey, we'll give you this player and this stuff so you can take this guy off our hands because we don't want him anymore. But I forget who tweeted it, but someone tweeted about Voracek where it was like, when your most recent highlight is calling a reporter a weasel, it's time for you to go. Like, yep. So I think with that being said,
Silver, I think.
Yeah. But it was like, when I saw that, I was like, yep, yeah, it's definitely time for him to go. And I mean, Voracek was one of those guys where it's like, you saw these tweets about blow up the core, like all that stuff where it's like, I didn't even, it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years since Voracek came here. I'll tell you that. But I mean, again, Dave, like you said, and like Hoagie said, he did his time here. He's in the top 10, I think, for a couple of categories in Flyers history. He's fifth in Flyers history in assists. He's 10th all time in games played and points. And that's about it for Flyers records. Other than
first
that,
in ignoring calls to shoot the puck.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, it didn't help his case where, like we've said, he would skate over the blue line into four opposing players and try and make some sort of crazy pass where it was like, dude, just shoot the puck or dump it in. Like, don't turn it over right away.
Shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, so, again, I mean, like, Ghost and, like, a couple other guys we've seen them do their time here, and it's just, again, it's time for them to move on, so... That's all I got to say, but I am excited to see what Atkinson can do. And it's, again, like we'll get to with our last trade, actually, not our last trade, but our last transaction, a Kevin Hayes connection, which I hope will strengthen the morale in the locker room and just the hopefully this time around it'll be true tight-knitness, if that's a word.
Yes.
Where these guys will stick up for each other and just, I mean, seem like they're having fun instead of, like, being miserable all the time. So a good Kevin Hayes connection, and hopefully that translates that off-ice translates into on-ice chemistry. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited for Atkinson.
Derek, in your good old Harvard hat?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we went into that on Pot Street Bullies, but I like the deal. I mean, to Mastro's point with the being a teammate of Kevin Hayes at Boston College for a year, you know, being friends with Scott Hartnell, and de facto, you could probably say he's got some type of relationship with Claude Giroux because Hartnell and Giroux are pretty close. Like, you're already in with the leader of the crew. So you're adding camaraderie to that team. Kevin Hayes, if you want to start considering him a part of this core now, maybe, I, you know, that's up for debate, but
I would.
You're getting, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, fair to say that now, but you're getting rid of Jake Voracek, who many consider to be the problem in the locker room, whether he actually was or not, you know, I'm sure we may never know. But the, you know, the guy that calls somebody a weasel in a press conference, there's something, there's where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yep.
you're getting a guy that shoots. You're getting a guy that goes to the dirty areas. You're getting a penalty killer. You're getting somebody who's capable in the power play as well. He's a better Travis Konecny, a more well-developed Travis Konecny, in my opinion. No slight on Konecny, but you're also getting a guy, honestly, that, you know, he wants to stay doing his charity work in Columbus, but, like, you're getting a good person, and I think that's a marketable person as well if he wants to start doing some of that charity work in Philadelphia. So a guy that you can market around. But you're getting another leader, you know, you're getting somebody that's another voice in the locker room that's going to be able to help these younger kids develop, the Wade Allisons, the Tanner Leshinskys. You know, it's encouraging that you're seeing this, and that's a common theme that I wrote an article about on PSN just today, where all of them were alternate captains. You know, Risto, Ellis, Atkinson, we're going to get to the next guy here in a bit, but it's good to see the direction that Chuck Fletcher's going with these guys, and it's really encouraging because now we have a guy we likely won't have to yell shoot at him. You know, he's going to shoot.
There's a problem.
Exactly. Then we're going to figure out it's a coaching problem because, you know, Voracek was coached not to shoot, but it's a good trade. I think it'll work out for Columbus too. Like, I'm happy Voracek will go to Columbus, hopefully have some success there as well.
Yeah.
You know, no ill will, like I said about Gostisbehere, no ill will towards Voracek. I hope he continues his illustrious career with Columbus, but I'm happy to have Cam Atkinson. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in a Flyers sweater, and, you know, it remains to be seen, but it'll be an exciting year to see how all these pieces fit together.
Yeah, if Columbus finds a way to re-sign Patrick Laine, you know, Voracek will be sending him passes, and that could be a lethal combo. But they're rebuilding, so who knows what they're going to do there.
I think I saw something that Laine is re-signing.
Oh,
that's interesting. Oh,
so one of my friends texted me earlier today. It said Laine accepted his qualifying offer, 1 year, $7.5 million.
Okay.
I mean, hey, if you do that, it's another proof of contract for Laine. But before we get into the signing that broke today, the Flyers did re-sign one of their RFAs.
I was about to say that. We missed someone.
Big Sam, not yep. Sam Cargiti. Sam Moran was extended for one more year at $750,000. Kind of another prove-it deal for Sam. Big Sam had an interesting season last year. Failed experiment as fourth-line winger. They then moved him back to defense, where you learn that's where he belonged. And at times, he filled in quite nicely on that third pair on the penalty kill. Killed some decent minutes and looked like, you know, this could be a guy who could be a good 6'7" type of defenseman in maybe in a pinch. So, boys, anyone quick thoughts on Sam Moran extension? I don't have much. I'm excited. I've always liked Sam Moran. I think we all know what he is now at this point. And at $750K, I'm not complaining.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I mean, if we're looking for a seventh defenseman, that's the guy.
Yeah.
The trials and tribulations that this kid has been through have showed us just the player and just the person that he is. So knowing that he's come back from those injuries and major injuries, I mean, we're talking ACLs, you know, I've had ACL surgery. Like, my knee will never be 100% again, and I'm going to have to live with that. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for a pro athlete. So the heart in that kid, like, that's the guy you want. Like, he's younger, I guess, if you want to categorize him as that, but, like, he's a guy you want in that locker room. It's a presence. It's somebody also that can fill in. And I mean, this might not happen, but could you guys imagine a defensive pairing of Sam Morin and Rasmus Ristolainen for at least just one game? Like, maybe put him against the Caps when Tom Wilson's out there. Penalty kill would be good. Yeah. Like, who's going to do anything against those guys? Those guys are monsters. But away from that, it's just the fact that you've got a defensive-minded guy who honestly now can learn from some of these veterans that they picked up, the Ellises, the Ristolainens, and who we're going to mention here in a bit. It's, again, great signing, low risk. You know, I don't know how you poke holes in a deal like this.
Hoagie, Mastro, any thoughts on Big Sam?
I think Derek said it best.
Derek has a way with words, let me tell you.
It's the Harvard education.
Shut up, dude.
The hat just makes me feel smarter. I'm actually an idiot, but you know, hey.
For those who want more in-depth reason as to the Harbor hat, listen to Podtree Boys' latest episode, and you will find out all the reason why.
Listen, that hat reminds me of the Morgan Wallen song where he says, "I went into a thrift store, bought a Harvard sweatshirt because it makes me feel smart, and I wonder if people look at me that way." And I don't look at Derek that way.
No, I'm still that same idiot before I had the Harvard hat on.
But with that all being said, boys, we are headed to Zonk Adelphia as a Mastro.
No, Sonk with an S, not Zonk.
Not Zonk, Sonk, I'm sorry.
Zonk is let's make a deal.
But Keith Yandel. Yet again, another player who we addressed on both podcasts saying, is this someone the Flyers could look to get if either via trade or if he's bought out by the Florida Panthers? Lo and behold, bought out by the Florida Panthers, becomes a free agent. Kevin Hayes' literal best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's signing at $900K with a no trade clause for 1 year. This is an ultimate signing. Yet another trade that Hoagie broke to me via text today, and I was through the moon.
He's the Frank Saravalli of this group.
He really is. I was instantly through the moon about this deal. You know, he is a player who you're going to put on your third pairing with Justin Braun, and he is your power. He's your ghost replacement, but better. He is your power play specialist. You now have Keith Yandel and Ryan Ellis running your power play units, which is. No, I love Ivan Provorov, but you've learned that power play ain't his forte. Mm-hmm. So now you've replaced him in Ghost, and you've done it with Ellis and Keith Yandel, which I think are major upgrades. Yet again, another player in Keith Yandel who's worn a letter for every organization he's played for, the Phoenix Coyotes, the New York Rangers, and the Florida Panthers. And he's a big locker room guy, and just like Ellis and Ristolainen and Atkinson, they're all leaders. And they don't take any shit. And they will make sure that locker room's in check and they're playing well. And Keith Yandel's got an Ironman streak of over 900 games in this league, which is absolutely crazy. Provorov's getting now in the mid-300s to himself, which is also impressive. But overall, this is a great signing. Again, this is very low risk and very high reward. And I'm just looking forward. This is the player who I've liked for years. When the New York Rangers traded for Keith Yandel in his prime, I was very, very bummed because he was a player who I've wanted Keith Yandel in Origin Black for over 10 years. He's been one of my favorite players to watch, and he's also a great listen on his other podcast appearances, but no free ads here on 5 Minute Major Radio unless it's Pod Street Bullies. So, gents, we'll go to Wuda Mastro here first. What are your thoughts on good old Keith Yandel coming to the Philadelphia Flyers? Which, by the way, we should address. This has not been fully announced since it's a free agent signing, but this broke via thanks to Kevin Weeks of ESPN and good old Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just plain old excited about this. Like you said, Dave, it's low risk, high reward. And I thought about this, too, because I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, Yandel's getting paid by Florida these next couple of years, too. Yep. So he probably was willing to take a pay cut. And it also, like you said, he's best friends with Hayes. So it's like, again, that Kevin Hayes connection where you have him, Atkinson, and Yandel all in a room. And I mean, they're just going to be – I'm going to need Yandel and Hayes mic'd up the entire season and also for it to be uncensored. But, I mean, they're just I hope with the same thing with the Atkinson-Hayes connection, the Hayes-Yandel connection where – that off-ice bond translates to the on-ice product where, if you think about it now, too, I just had this thought while you were talking, Dave. Every pairing for the Flyers now has a right and left-handed shot. Yep. So, I mean, that's, as Thanos said, perfectly balanced as all things should be. But, I mean, it's just like, it's exciting because you've seen the character that Yandel is off the ice and you've seen the player that he's been on the ice. Obviously, he's not as good as he once was, but... you're getting that veteran defenseman experience, again, much needed for the Flyers. You're getting a good locker room guy, and you're getting a guy who's still got it, but like I said, he's not he's not a hollow shell of his former self, but he's just not, again, he's not playing at that level that he used to play at. But again, I love this. I love the whole Sonk thing with him. So I'm hoping there's some shirts that come out with that. And then, I mean, again, it's just one of those trades where, or not even a trade, it's just a signing where it's like, it's fun. You can't get mad at it because you're paying the guy under $1 million for 1 year. And, you know, again, you know the connection that he has with Hayes. I think he also was with AV with the Rangers.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's got connections to Philadelphia from the past in his career, and just having it all come, I guess, full circle when he comes to Philadelphia. And I believe he also wanted to sign here, too, because I saw somewhere mm-hmm. where he got better offers from other teams, but wanted to
Charlie choose O'Connor Philadelphia specifically.
Yep. So, I'm excited. Again, like we've been saying, it's another piece that the Flyers have added this offseason where, dare I say it, makes me excited for the new season of Flyers hockey.
Yeah, I can. Before we get to Derek and Matt, this is something that really, I was texting Mastro. I was like, I am actually genuinely excited for next season now, just based off of these moves alone. And we've heard Chuck ain't done. Like, he still needs to bring in a 1B / backup goalie for Hart and maybe another forward.
Yeah.
So there could be more. We've been late to Darcy Kempfer. You know, things are on the up and up here, but. Derek, what are your thoughts on Keith Yandle now being a member of the Orange and Black?
See, to your point real quick, I mean, what a quick turnaround. You know, it's you look at this team last year, they were just putrid compared to what we expected. And now Yandle wants to come to Philadelphia, like, fantastic. $900K a year, great. Even better. What this move does for me, I mean, you're looking at a third pairing before Yandle of Justin Braun and Cam York. So now what this does is moves Cam York back to the AHL, lets him kind of get his bearings there. And if he forces their hand and says, I'm ready and proves it, awesome. I'm much more comfortable with 900K in Keith Yandle or even 1. What is it? 6 for Braun sitting in the press box than I was 4.5 with Goss to spare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to mention being able to take Provorov off the power play, save his legs for some important parts of the game. But, like, more importantly, I'm seeing a trend here, and I'm kind of encouraged by it because this could dictate how free agency plays out for the Flyers. We're seeing this guy just got bought out, Keith Yandle. Braden Holtby just got bought out. Whether you agree with bringing him in as a backup or not, you know, it's not the worst option out there. It's not the best option. But, like, think about a guy like Corey Perry. He's been bought out. He's probably still making money off of Anaheim. So maybe they can get him on the cheap, fill in that forward spot, and you've got more money to play with to re-sign guys like Sanheim and Hart if they command more money. I don't see Sanheim getting anything more than like 3.75. Hart probably similar, maybe a little less.
I think Hart's probably getting 3 mil.
Yeah, that's what I went with, actually. I think we did some projections on PSB, and that's what I said. So, I mean, you've got options, and if you're bringing in these veterans, like, what better way to help kind of initiate these younger guys into the NHL by saying, here are the guys that you're going to learn from, because back when they were your age, they were dominating this game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see no harm in this. I think it's a great move. Corey Perry, we've learned, can still play. You know, he was part of the Canadiens' run to the Stanley Cup. You put him on a fourth line with a guy like Leshinsky even, maybe even Scott Laughton on the other wing, let Leshinsky play center. That could be a great fourth line. And then you've got other guys that can just learn from him. But Yandle's pick up, I think he's the same type of player that you might want York to become. He's an offensive-minded guy. So you've got a mentor right there who's been on multiple teams. He's been to the Cup. He hasn't won a Stanley Cup, correct?
No.
No, he's not won a Stanley Cup. But regardless, like, he's got the experience, regular season, postseason. Mm-hmm. A guy that can mentor Cam York and mold him into – I don't want to say a replica, but, you know, put him on the right path. It's fantastic to me. You know, defense wasn't my personal biggest need after all these moves. But, hey, if you're going to get the guy for less than $1 million, why the hell not?
Yeah, and Chuck Fletcher, before we get to Hoagie here on his thoughts on Keith Yandle, Chuck Fletcher made a point to address that overall goals against was something that he wanted to fix this offseason.
Yeah,
and he has addressed that. Chuck Fletcher came out with his comments about this team saying how you can't bring back the same players and accept the same results. You know, he's done his job. Like, he's gone out, he's doing his job. He's saying, I am the GM of the Philadelphia Flyers, and frankly, I'm seeing much better GM work than he did in Minnesota right now. In just this one offseason. So I'm ecstatic. So now we can just hope that the players can do their jobs and as can the coaches. But Hoges, what are your thoughts on Yandel?
This signing kind of confuses me, mainly as a Flyers fan. Because last season when the season started and we were looking at guys that could replace Niskanen or help out the defense, nobody wanted Yandel. And he was one of the guys that was like on the trading block. Like, he almost that Iron Man streak almost ended in Florida because he almost didn't make the opening night roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the guys that was like, why don't you bring in this guy where he is proven, ready to go? And it just confuses me why we didn't do it then and we're doing it now. I'm excited for it. Like Dave, like you just said, Fletcher, everything that Fletcher laid out to us in press conferences, except for saying, oh, I'm done trading for this weekend, he has hit every nail on the head. You know what I'm saying? Like, leadership has been a problem in this locker room. He's fixed that with bringing in past assistant captains of hockey clubs with Yandel, Ellis, Ristolainen, and Atkinson. Like, this is huge. This kind of tells our core/our leadership in the locker room saying, step the hell up and let's do something. So I'm excited for it, especially, you know, with less than $1 million on the contract. It's huge. But someone tweeted out, was like, well, does this mean we're not confident that Sanheim's going to sign his RFA or his extending offer? And someone's like, shut up. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, and like I said it too. I was like, does this mean Braun's getting shipped out? And then someone said, well, you know, this kind of says that Cam York probably isn't going to make the lineup. Which it'll be interesting if he does. If he does, awesome. If he doesn't, we have a defensive core that we can take to the ice in October ready to play.
Yeah, and there's no reason to rush Cam York. I think he's a player who we could be seeing. We could be holding him in the same ilk as Provorov in a couple of years. I think that highly of Cam York. And kind of in closing, before we do finally take our ad break, before going around the league, which, Matt, we'll have to go on light speed for around the league here. but, you know, when you can go ahead and you can make these changes to your hockey team in moving out Nolan Patrick, Phil Myers, Jake Voracek, Robert Haig, and Shane Gostisbehere, and then you bring in Ellis, Ristolainen, Atkinson, and Yandel, you've made your team a better hockey team, without a question. Mm-hmm. But I know there might be some fans who disagree with me out there, but that's just my take. Skewer me if you want.
They're wrong.
But thank you. Derek, thank you. Again, you know what? Yeah. Fuck them.
And like I said, I
have the good old explicit fuck.
Yeah. Like I said, Dave, like I said before, you can't expect different results with the same players. And regardless of what people think about these trades and these acquisitions that we've made and that the ones we may make before the season starts, you can't knock the front office for being complacent or for not addressing the issues that we've seen with the team. So it's like, as much as we've ragged on the front office and the players and all this team, deservedly so at a lot of points, but they are actively trying to make things better with these guys that they've picked up and with these guys that they might pick up. So again, dare I say it, it's exciting to see these things happen and to know that the front office sees the frustration of the fans, sees the downward trend that this team has taken the past decade plus now. And I mean, they're finally actively saying, let's kick this thing in the ass. And I've seen snippets of like off-ice training aspects of the team being changed and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope things are kind of going to look up from here. But, hell, like I said, just let these guys play and we can go from there.
You've got Kevin Hayes making great Instagram stories with songs. Like today he posted one where he photoshopped Keith Yandel in a Flyers jersey with like the song My Best Friend.
Yeah.
And like you can tell he's pumped. And just based off of these moves right now, I think this is going to be a fun hockey team next year. And that's it's just so nice and so refreshing. Like I was talking to Brenna, my wife, before we were getting the podcast started tonight while we're eating dinner. And, you know, made breakfast for dinner, so power move right there. But I was saying, I'm looking forward to talking about the Flyers on the podcast tonight. Like, it's not Masher and I going, well, they did this again, and womp. Like, no, we actually have, good, exciting news to address. So it's a nice change of pace. Like, it feels good, again, to talk about the Flyers. So
that's what we've been saying on Posh Street Boys every time, we get on. It's like, we actually have some news to talk about. This is awesome.
Right. Yeah. Some positive news. I mean, there was negative news, but it was positive news. It makes a whole world of difference there.
So, absolutely. With that all being said, we will finally conclude our Flyers coverage for this week's podcast, an hour and 15 into the show. So we will take a quick ad break here, and then Mastro will take us in 12 parsecs around the league. And we are back here at 5 Minute Major Radio. Mastro, why don't you go ahead and take us here around the league?
Sounds good. So for time's sake, we are going to go a bit of a rapid fire here. We may not cover all the topics that have happened because there has been a lot that's happened the past few days. And there will be more that happened that we don't cover just off of tonight. But if you want that supplemental information, I'm sure you have a smartphone. So go on NHL.com where we get all our info, or go on Twitter where we get most of our info, and do that. But most notably so, and I think what we'll spend the most time on tonight is the Golden Knights being cold-blooded and trading away the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, Marc-Andre Fleury, earlier today for basically nothing. Basically for cap space, and Vegas also received forward prospect Mikael Hekkarainen, I believe is how you pronounce that name. But this was a bomb that was dropped on Twitter earlier today.
And that's how Fleury found out, too.
Yeah, and you found out that Fleury found out through social media that he'd been traded. I mean, I think, Dave, I know we talked about this via text, and Derek and Hoagie, I'm sure you guys have similar thoughts here, but I'll start before I throw it over to you guys here. But I mean, I think Vegas did this guy dirty, where they were very adamant about Fleury and Leonard being their tandem going forward, where it's like, oh, like they traded for Leonard, 2 years ago, something like that. And they were adamant about well, this guy could be a number one goalie, but also we have Fleury, who is a number one goalie, but they're going to share minutes, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, even both the players came out publicly in the media and were like, yeah, we're going to make this work. Like, we're here for the team. We're team guys first. We're going to make sure this team wins, whether it's me between the pipes or Robin between the pipes. So you saw that there was this mutual respect for each other as goaltenders and all that. And then today it just seemed like that all went out the window, where we saw the meme that Fleury's agent, Alan Walsh, posted a few months back when there was that little situation in the playoffs with the Knights. And, I mean, you basically just have to hit the retweet button on that at this point and add the Vegas Golden Knights logo to the hilt of that sword. And you've got an updated meme, because they legit stabbed this guy in the back, where he was the face of this franchise for the past, 4 seasons now, was their first pick in the expansion draft when they came in the league for their inaugural season, took them to the cup final in their first season ever, and you trade this guy away for a prospect and cap space, which is, I mean, it's cold-blooded now, and it's either he revenge plays against the Knights this next season as a member of the Blackhawks, or he might retire. He came out with a statement later today saying that he's going to contemplate the situation and go from there. But some crazy stuff going on in Vegas and in Chicago. But Dave, I'll throw it over to you first. What are your thoughts on the MAF situation?
I saw people have redone the original meme that Alan Walsh tweeted out, where they added, instead of replacing the DeBoer sword, they added a second sword with the Vegas Golden Knights logo on it. So now there's two swords with blood dripping out from Macher and Jake Fleury.
Poor guy.
I completely agree with you. This is a straight up disrespect to one of the best goalies to play the game. You know, I have a lot of respect for Fleury, but also hated him for all those years of being a Penguin. But in his time in Vegas, I've learned to appreciate him. He's one of the good guys in the game right now, and he just gets shit on by every team he plays for eventually. He was, you know, cast out by the Penguins after being their star, goes to Vegas, is their star, and is now cast out. And it's just frustrating. And this stuff, Vegas loves to do this with players. They get a new player, they're like, ooh, shiny new toy. And then 2 years later, they're like, all right, I'm done with you. And just toss it out of the corner. You know, I just don't get why they're doing this. They're going to have a bad reputation. I get they're doing this for cap space. And, of course, they've been linked to Jack Eichel in Buffalo with a trade. So I wonder what's going to happen there. But, you know, Fleury, I get why Chicago wants him. They're trying to accelerate their rebuild. They brought in the Jones brothers. They still have Patrick Kane in his prime. Jonathan Taves is looking to come back. You know, if you can have Fleury be a starter and a mentor to their rookie goaltender, Lankinen, I believe his name was, last season, you know, that's going to accelerate their quote-unquote rebuild. But Vegas did Fleury dirty, and by trading his contract, if Fleury retires, Chicago gets hit with all the retiring cap or catcher penalties and not Vegas. So that kind of sucks on them, because I would just love nothing for Vegas just to get shit on in this, but it sounds like they've got their hands clean now. It's a good pickup for Chicago, an organization that doesn't really deserve any good things right now, considering what they're trying to cover up. They should really be the bearer of all things bad news, because you're hearing some really, really shitty things about them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if Fleury decides to play, he'll be a good player. He's proven he won the Vezina. He has not declined at all. So shame on you, Vegas. You should do better by your players, especially the face of your franchise. Phillies, Puck, Brashen, Price, and Stott retweeted the tweet by Friedman saying, pardon me, because, you know, he's a Vegas fan from being there. But that's all I have to say about it. You know, it'll be interesting to see what Fleury does. I mean, hell, if he decides he wants to play and doesn't want to play in Chicago, Chucky, I wouldn't mind seeing Marc-Andre Fleury in orange and black backing up Carter Hart.
Yeah,
Rockets Dave, all orange pads. Just saying.
Good points, Dave. All good points.
Crosby. Love to see it.
Derek, I'll throw it over you next.
I mean, you're talking about a goalie that, after winning the Vezina this year, the man has nothing left to prove. He's raised the cup. He's won the Vezina. He was part of the best 1-2 punch, and Vegas somehow, and if I may have my one here for the episode, Vegas found a way to fuck that up. I mean, you messed up a pairing between Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury, and you messed it up royally. Like, you really did put a sword in this guy's back. Like, that meme, it's not even a meme anymore. It's reality.
It's reality.
And it's unfortunate, because that was your guy when you took him in the expansion draft. That was your franchise. That was the guy you pinned your franchise on and said, this is the guy we're going to build around. And you did. He took him to the Cup Finals in his first year. Excuse me. It's just so unfortunate. But if you needed any more reason to hate the Vegas Golden Knights, here's one more.
Yep.
With how they handled this situation. I'm going to hand it off before I have a coughing fit. Sorry.
I'll pick it up.
Go ahead.
It's just a shock. I couldn't believe it when the news broke. Because at first it was Fleury for nothing. And then it developed later as Fleury for this prospect. It's just a surprise. I feel for the guy. I can't believe Vegas is doing this. It just makes no sense. But I mean, if they're trying to get Jack Eichel to improve their forward tour, I guess as long as it works out for them, good for them. But I mean, they're stupid on their part. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think I'll leave it at the fact that they definitely screwed Fleury over, and we'll let our listeners do their own research here when I say this, but the asking price for Jack Eichel seems to have gone significantly downhill. When we saw what the Vegas Golden Knights would have to trade Buffalo for Eichel, but we'll leave that to our listeners here, and we'll get to our last topic of the night here around the league. As I said before, we're not going to cover everything because of time's sake, but if you have a smartphone or a computer, go on NHL.com, get caught up on things.
Or even DM one of us.
Or DM us. Slide our in our DMs.
DMs are open. Glad right
but
in.
We're experts.
Our total last
experts. We are
the
experts.
Harvard head says so.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Our last topic of discussion for tonight is a big signing by a notable guy you may have heard of, Alex Ovechkin, re-signed with the Capitals, a five-year deal with a $47.5 million value, an average annual value of $9.5 million. The 35-year-old forward, who was slated to become a UFA tomorrow, negotiated the contract directly with the Capitals without an agent, like he did back in 08 when he signed a 13-year deal worth $124 million. Capitals general manager Brian McClellan was quoted saying, "Alex is the face of our franchise and is committed to this organization and this city. He embodies what our franchise is all about, and we're thrilled that he will continue his career in the Caps uniform for the next 5 years." The main thing surrounding Ovechkin now that he's won his cup is the fact that he could break Wayne Gretzky's record, the goals record, with 894 is Gretzky's record, and Ovechkin stands at 730 goals right now. So I did the math earlier. Not a math guy, but I did do the math earlier. So in his next five seasons, if Ovechkin can average around 33 goals per season, if the next five seasons are 82 games like we're used to, and he has 33 goals throughout those 82 games, then he will indeed break Gretzky's record. So that's one of those things where, like, just as a hockey fan, you want to see something like that happen because that record has stood for so long now, where that's obviously going to be hockey history as you're going to see the greatest goal scorer of all time. But for now, Ovi, the Russian machine, never breaks, staying in the nation's capital for another 5 years. Derek, I'll throw it over to you first about this. Your thoughts on Ovi getting his new contract?
Good for him. I mean, negotiating a second contract for himself with no agent, awesome job. I mean, $9.5 million, great job, Ovi. I mean, if I could congratulate you myself, I would. you know, I didn't see the guy playing anywhere else.
Yeah.
It would have just been strange, you know, seeing him in a Coyote sweater, a Minnesota sweater, a Flyers sweater, even, as much as I would have loved to see it. Like, it would have just been so strange. Like, the man's a Washington Capital. And if things wouldn't have worked out, honestly, I could have seen him taking the Yager route and going overseas. But I'm glad he's good for the NHL as a whole.
Yeah.
The man has the opportunity to break the goals record. He could possibly be the greatest, purest goal scorer to ever play. So keeping that in the NHL is an advantage to the NHL itself. So awesome. Love it. I'm glad that he's back. I'm going to hate it 8 times a year when they play against the Flyers, or however many times they play against each other this year. But so be it. You know, my dad's a Caps fan, so I have an immense amount of respect for Ovechkin, as much as of a Flyer killer as he is. But, you know, hey, 33 goals per season for the next 5 years. I hope he does it. Why the hell not? I want to see records fall. Let's just do it. I would love to see it. So kudos to him. Awesome to hear it. Glad he's back. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Well said. Hoagie, we'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Awesome contract. I mean, it's crazy that he's 39 years old and he still wants to keep going at his age. I mean... How many times this season did we see him still score the same exact goal, night in and night out? It's just incredible. Yeah, he sits in that top slot, top circle, and just lets it rip. I definitely think if he can keep up the momentum through that fifth year, and I think he can definitely take out that goal record. I mean, 33 goals, I don't think he's ever scored less than 40 in a year since he's come into the league, right?
He's had a couple 30-goal campaign years here and there.
Probably shortened seasons at that point.
Yeah.
His average.
The shortened seasons didn't help his case, but I think he can still do it.
I mean, in our lifetime, he is the greatest goal scorer that we have ever seen on the ice. So I would love for him to take down that record. It sucks that we've had two or three shortened seasons in his career lifetime, because I think he would have been creeping up on it at this point.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Very well said. Dave, last but not least, your thoughts on the Great Eight?
I mean, there's nothing much more to add. Derek and Hoagie, and you already hit the nail on the head right there. But, I mean, he's the greatest goal scorer of our generation that hockey probably will ever see. For all we know, he could just shove it in our face and score 60 in the next, like, 2.5, like, right. per season and break it super early in his contract. but, I mean, he's just a guy you can't really hate. You know he's a good guy. He's got a good family. He's well-liked in the DC community. He's also, if not, he hasn't gotten it yet. He's in the process of getting his PhD. So soon he'll be Dr. Ovechkin, which is crazy to think.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, you really can't, unless you're some stupid Yinzer fan, you have to love Ovi. Like, I think he's a player that Flyers fans can't really hate. You can hate what he does the team, but you have to respect and love him, because Alex Ovechkin has been nothing but must-watch television his entire time in the league, and that's something that the NHL always needs. So I'm here for it. I hope he breaks it, and I hope he can keep up and stay healthy, because the league is better when Alex Ovechkin's playing.
Do we know where he's getting his PhD from?
No.
Could it be...
I hate Harvard? You. Stop it.
Is it Putin University? All right.
I'm done with the Harvard joke.
So actually, I'm looking it up right now. I believe it's the Federal Science Center of Sports and Culture at the Sports Ministry of the Russian Federation.
So that sounds like such a Russian thing.
That is the most Russian school name I've ever heard.
Hey, but you know what? Props to him.
He's working on his PhD of pedagogical sciences, which is research-based education strategies to help young people learn.
Interesting.
Pedagogical.
So
what a word.
Ovi could be the greatest doctor goal scorer of our generation.
Like, so basketball had Dr. J, we've got Dr. O.
But boys, with that being said, that wraps it up for Around the League. Like I said before, twice now, if you need to get up to date on everything, DM us, because obviously we're all hockey experts, or go on the internet. But Dave, before I throw it over to you to wrap it up here, Hoagie, Derek, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have the guys from Pod Street Bullies here. But before we do go, tell the people where they can find you guys on Twitter at your personal handle, and also for the Pod Street Bullies.
Go ahead, Hoagie.
All right. you can find me at Pod Street Hoags. You can follow all my shenanigans on Twitter.
He's very active. For anybody that
had to witness my very drunken shenanigans on Saturday evening, I apologize, because I didn't remember most of them.
Don't apologize.
Dave was standing next to me and goes, bro, calm down, dude.
I told him, like, dude, I'm like, just ignore it. I'm like, they're just going to keep on. Just, I'm like, just have another beer. Relax. I think he listened to me eventually.
I did.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, you can find me, Pod Street Bob, Pod Street Bullies with Hoagie and I, and John and Matt Casey as well, Pod ST Bullies. Always a pleasure, guys. It's always fun being able to come on here and talk some hockey with you guys. It's always a good time, so really enjoyed it. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We'll have to get the whole game together. We'll have to get John and Matt and Casey on here. We'll have to complete the trio of Matts. We were two out of three.
So bold the move Holy here. Trinity. Bold thought, but now with COVID and everything kind of getting not by the wayside, but getting better, is there a possibility in the future for a in-person Pod Street Bullies 5-Minute Major crossover?
I would love to do that.
That would be a hell of a time.
Maybe even potentially a Flyers game.
That would be a question for my wife, Dave, who would have to take care of the kid. But absolutely, I would love to do that.
Hell yeah. Yep. So keep that in mind, boys.
Oh, hell yeah.
Definitely. But again, like what Master said, thanks to Derek and Hoagie for coming on as always. Welcome on anytime. But with that, thank you for everyone for listening to this a marathon episode of 5 Minute Major Radio. Unlike Pod Street Boys, as we mentioned, Master and I are doing every other week now. So our podcasts have been a little bit lengthier for the summer season, but just for a couple more weeks, then we'll go back to week by week. So thank you, everyone. Enjoy the podcast as always. Thank you for your continued listenership, and let's go Flyers.